This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In a world filled with chaos and uncertainty, find peace, guidance, inspiration, and wisdom with Abdel Fattah de Yemi's official app. Download the Abdel Fattah de Yemi app now and start your journey to a more meaningful, purpose-driven life. Available for free on the App Store and Google Play. Join the community. Transform your life. Edit your universe.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase him in wealth and in health and in knowledge, beneficial knowledge. He is a compassionate and caring marriage coach, a motivational speaker. He is a warner, a preacher, one who tells you the implications of what you are doing in a way that your heart can conceive, mashallah. He's also an author of experience in premarital counseling, conflict resolution, career guidance, and parenting coaching ustaz. This is what Allah has made him. When he speaks about health in Islam, you will address him as a medical doctor. Wallahi al-Azim. There is no area that he speaks about that he is not versed of it, using Quran and Hadith to give his explanations. And if he starts speaking about Hadith, you call him one of the Imam al-Muhaddithin. All of this is what he has prepared himself for, to assist himself and Islam and all of us, just for one goal. And we all know the goal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him the power, the wisdom, the wealth and health to achieve that goal for Islam. At-Takbir. I will say more and more and more if nobody stops me. Masha'Allah. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him Jannah and that of his beautiful family. Definitely. He will have to have a beautiful family. If you are making other people's families beautiful, definitely yours will be beautiful. About you will permit me to invite to the stage Sheikhana Abdel Fattah Adel. Alhamdulillah. At-Takbir! Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We are grateful to Almighty Allah, the giver of life, the doer of all he intends, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We give thanks and praise and glory to Almighty Allah again and again. May Allah count us to be among those that are ever grateful for the famous Shakiran li an'umihi, among those who are thankful for all the blessings and ni'mah that Allah has done for us. As we thank Almighty Allah and we praise Him, we ask Allah's forgiveness over our sins. May Allah pardon our mistakes. May Allah overlook our errors and continue to guide us aright in all we do. We also pray for the peace and blessings of Allah to be abundantly showered on the best of all mankind, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his household, his companions, and all believers from now till the day of judgment. We also pray for Allah's forgiveness for our parents, the ones that are alive and those that have passed on. May Allah forgive them and grant them al-jannatul firdaus for those who have passed on. We pray for our teachers, we pray for our scholars, we pray for all of those who showed us the guidance of Islam. May Almighty Allah reward them abundantly, and all of us too. May Allah accept it from us, all that we have to say today, and may Allah grant our request by virtue of the good deed that Allah has given us the opportunity to carry out. Once more, my name is Abdul Fattah Adeyemi. The topic is turning to Allah. So we have the turning, we have the turner, we have the turnee. We are the turnees to Almighty Allah. Just like you have the turnees. So we are turnees to Allah. Turning to Allah is a fundamental concept in Islam that encapsulates the idea of seeking Allah's guidance, seeking Allah's mercy, seeking Allah's forgiveness in all aspects of life. It reflects a believer's commitment to maintaining a deep personal connection with the Creator in three ways. One, through worship, that's ibadah. Two, through supplication, that's dua. And three, through righteous actions, amalu salih. These are the three ways through which we turn to Allah: worship, supplication, and righteous actions. So this, our lecture, this discussion, will explore the different dimensions of turning to Allah. Also look at the significance of this practice in a believer's life, that's in a turnee's life, and the means by which one can turn to Allah sincerely. It's not just turning to Allah, but also turning to Allah in all sincerity. Turning to Allah is called tawbah in the Quran, and this generally means repentance, if we translate it to English. However, it also encompasses a broader idea of seeking closeness to Allah through constant remembrance, prayer, and conscious submission to the will of Almighty Allah. It involves both the heart and the actions, meaning a sincere internal state of turning away from sin and disobedience and moving towards obedience and righteousness. Turning to Allah is not only what we think in our minds. It's not just an idea. It is something we have to actively pursue and actively carry out. Turning to Allah is a very essential aspect of Islam. It's a very essential aspect of Iman. You are a believer, and turning to Allah is what you do every time. It's a recognition of the turnee's dependence on Allah and the need for the mercy and guidance of Almighty Allah at all times. So it is a process of spiritual purification, a process of growth, a process of helping to cleanse the heart from sins and from weaknesses. Now let's look at some metaphors that may help us to understand better what we mean by turning to Allah. It is like the compass and the traveler. Just as a traveler relies on a compass to traverse through unknown and challenging terrains of life, a believer turns to Allah to find directions in life. The traveler knows that in the massiveness of the jungle, where every tree and rock can look the same, a compass is more than just a tool. A compass is a lifeline. When you are lost, that is the lifeline that will make sure you succeed and survive in your journey. The compass provides clarity in the midst of confusion. It provides a single point of certainty in a landscape that can easily deceive you. Without it, the traveler is prone to wander in circles, lost and disoriented, trapped in an endless loop of uncertainty. And similarly, life is a very vast, unpredictable journey. It is filled with moments of confusion, moments of doubt, moments of hardship. Like Allah said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا لِلْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. Humans have been created into constant toil, constant struggle. So in this journey, our desires and our fears and external influences can often mislead us. We think we know, but we don't really know. We think what we see is real, but it's not really real. We think we have seen this tree before, and yet we have never seen it before. We think we have passed through this way before, we have never passed there before. It's just the trees and the rocks that look similar. A believer understands that just as the compass always points to the true north, turning to Allah provides the constant, unwavering guidance that is needed to navigate the moral and existential terrains of life. So this reliance in Almighty Allah is not born from weakness, but from a profound understanding of the nature of our existence. The traveler does not doubt their capacity to walk or their courage to face the unknown, but they acknowledge the limits of human perception and the need for a higher guidance where you cannot see and you don't know what is happening. In the same way, a believer does not relinquish their free will or abandon their reason. They recognize the human wisdom, no matter how vast it is, they recognize that our wisdom is limited. In the face of life mysteries, it is not everything we can wrap our heads around. Some things will elude us, some things we know, some things we don't really know. Until when it is time to make use of the knowledge, then we realize that we actually knew nothing. To turn to Allah is to orient oneself toward an absolute source of wisdom and truth, and to find a direction that transcends the fleeting and the finite. It is to understand that while we may have the ability to choose our steps, we need a compass to determine the right path. And in a world that often feels like a maze of endless choices and distractions, this turning to Allah is an act of profound humility and trust. It's a declaration that while the road ahead may be uncertain, the one who is guiding us is not uncertain. Allah can never be helpless. In every situation, the traveler and the believer are both seekers. One is seeking a destination of this world, and the other one is seeking the destination of the hereafter. And in their seeking, they find that the journey is not about knowing every turn, but about trusting the one who is holding the map and guiding you. And it's Allah that is guiding us. Without the compass, the traveler is lost, and without turning to Allah, the soul is directionless and lost in the world's distraction and temptations. That is one. Turning to Allah, secondly, is like the sunflower and the sun. A sunflower instinctively turns its face towards the sun. It keeps following its path throughout the day to receive light and nourishment from the sun. It does not need to be taught that this is how it should move. It doesn't need to be taught that you have to move towards the sun because it is part of its being to do that. The light bulb doesn't have to be taught that you have to do light. You don't ask a door, hey, what do you do? The door knows that it is to open the way for people to come in or to go out. You don't ask a window, you, what are you doing there? The window knows that part of his job is to open up for fresh air to come in and for people to be able to see what's happening outside. The sunflower knows in its own silent wisdom that its life depends on this turning to Allah. Without the sun's light, it will wither, it will fade, and to be deprived of the energy that it needs to grow. The energy that it needs to bloom and to reach its fullest potential. So this natural act of turning is a testament to a profound truth about existence. To thrive, one must align with their source of life. And similarly, the human soul, in its search for meaning and fulfillment, instinctively turns towards Allah, the ultimate source of spiritual life and nourishment. So just as the sunflower follows the sun across the sky, a believer orients their hearts and soul towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing fully well that in the light of Allah, they feel the warmth of guidance. They find the energy of purpose, and they discover the clarity of truth. So this turning is not merely a ritual or a formality. It is an essential act of alignment with the divine reality that sustains all of us. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun, thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun, kalla law ta'lamuna ilma al-yaqin. You shall get to know, and after that you will get to know, you are going to know for reality and for certainty that Allah is the source of light and Allah is the source of guidance to all of us. To turn away is to live in darkness. To turn towards Allah is to live in the light of Allah. And look at the sunflower. This is exactly how our eyes behave. No matter how many glasses you wear, no matter how much of an expert you are, the eyes cannot see where there's no light. The eyes becomes useless if the light is not present to make it to function. So also is our lives in terms of guidance will become useless and will be perpetually in the dark, if not for the light of guidance of Allah that helps us to navigate our paths in life. So if you don't follow the light, it's as good as you have closed your eyes. And when you close your eyes, it's as good as you are going to tremble and you fall into a pit, or at least you go astray completely. So tawbah, turning to Allah, is recognizing the source of light and recognizing it and following it and turning to it at all times. Another example of turning to Allah is that of the parent and the child. When a child is hurt or afraid, they instinctively run to their parents for comfort and protection. This simple primal act carries a profound truth about the human condition within it. It reveals the innate recognition of a source greater than oneself. Allahu Akbar. It is an entity of safety. It's an entity of care. It's an unconditional love. In the fragile world of a child, where every shadow is a potential monster and every stumble a potential catastrophe, the parent embodies a fortress of reassurance and strength for the child. But this impulse is not confined to childhood. Even as we grow, as we mature, and as we assume our independence, the essence of this instinct remains buried deep within us. So in terms of distress, when life's shadows grow long and its path becomes uncertain, we still seek something greater than ourselves, a refuge that promises understanding and compassion and security. So this indeed is another way that just as a child turns to the parents, then we too must turn to Almighty Allah for succor, for reassurance, and for safety. And perhaps in this simple, unthinking gesture of a child reaching for a parent, we also find a comparison for the soul's eternal longing, a reminder that beneath the layers of pride and pretense, we are still children searching for home. Many of us, we are just wanderers, wandering around. And when we move forward, we like to look back to be sure our parents are watching over us, to be sure they are there to cheer us on, and to be sure they are there to guide us not to fall into pit or to touch what is dangerous to us. The way a child will move a step and turn back to look at the parent, that's the same way our souls instinctively like to turn back to be sure and to be reassured that we are safe. Another way of turning to Allah in tawbah is the lack of a parched land and the rain. A dry, parched land eagerly awaits the arrival of rain to become fertile and green again. In its barrenness, the land thirsts for the skies to open and to pour down life-giving water for itself, because it knows that without this rain, it remains a cracked and desolate expanse, lacking in color, lacking in growth, lacking in vitality. So the rain is not just a luxury. It is a necessity. It's an essential element that awakens dormant seeds and turns the desert into a flourishing garden. This conversion is a powerful metaphor for the journeys of the human soul from desolation to renewal, from desiccation to hydration, and from rot to lustre. And similarly, when the human soul is burdened by sin, when the human soul is disturbed by heedlessness, it becomes like that barren land that is dry, that is cracked and lifeless. In moments of spiritual neglect, the heart loses its capacity to feel, to connect, and to thrive. The heart becomes a wasteland where doubt, despair, and discontentment takes root. Yet, as the land knows that rain is its salvation, the soul deep down recognizes that its true revival lies in turning to Allah through repentance and through worship. And so, as humans, just like we know that the dry land needs the rainfall in order for it to thrive again, we also know that ourselves too, we need to be restored by the rainfall of Almighty Allah when we turn to Allah. And in that restoration, like the barren land, after a long-awaited rain, the soul becomes fertile. It becomes green and alive once more, capable of reaching heights of beauty and purpose it could never have imagined in its parched state. And Allah says, "Kul ara'aytum in asbaha ma'ukum ghawran faman ya'tikum bima'in ma'in." Don't you see, if Allah should take your water away from you, who will give you another water, ma'in ma'in, the kind of life-giving water that you require? Turning to Allah is what gives us that water to rejuvenate us and revive us back to life. Just as rain changes barren land into a lush garden, turning to Allah changes a spiritually barren heart into one filled with faith and tranquility. And just as water revitalizes the body, turning to Allah rejuvenates the spirit. Let me give you another example of turning to Allah. It's like the phone and the charger. Just as a phone needs to be plugged into its charger to regain energy and function properly, the human heart and soul must be connected to their divine source through prayer and supplication and remembrance of Allah. The phone is a marvel of modern creation. It's a powerful tool that is capable of countless functions. And among the functions, there are three main functions of the phone: communication, exploration, and creation. But all of this potential is rendered useless when its battery runs dry. No matter how advanced its technology is, without a source of power to recharge it, the phone becomes a lifeless object disconnected from its purpose. It doesn't matter whether it's iPhone 9 or iPhone 10, iPhone 15, iPhone 20. If there's no battery, it's not going to iPhone anything. In much the same way, the human heart and soul, although filled with boundless potential for love, potential for wisdom, potential for creativity, potential for growth, it requires a steady source of spiritual energy, the one we refer to as solar energy. S-O-U-L-A-R, solar energy. The energy to function at the highest capacity. The energy does not come from the material world. The energy for the soul, the solar energy, which often leaves the soul feeling drained, distracted, and disoriented. Instead, the solar energy comes from connecting to the divine source. Al-Khaliq, the creator. Al-Bari, the evolver. Al-Musawwir, the designer. Who alone provides the strength and the clarity and peace that the soul craves. No soul can be at ease without these three things. So prayer, that is salat, dua, supplication, and dhikr, remembrance of Allah, they are the means by which the soul plugs in to this divine connection. So just as the phone must be actively connected to the charger, the soul must be consciously connected to Allah. So prayer becomes the charging point for the soul, a place where one finds renewal and refreshment. And in the moments of prayer, the believer aligns the heart with Allah and thereby restoring the inner balance disrupted by the chaos and noise of daily life. Remembrance, that's dhikri, is a constant trickle of energy that keeps the heart alive, that keeps the heart alert and aware of its purpose. Much like a phone in low power mode sustains itself until it can be fully charged again. Dua is a call for help and guidance. It's a reminder that we are dependent beings in need of divine support to survive the challenges of life. So in a world that constantly drains our spiritual batteries through distractions, through anxieties, and relentless pursuit of worldly desires, this connection is not just a comfort, it's a necessity. Allahu Akbar, it's a necessity. Some souls have only 3 bars left in them. Some souls have just 2 bars of battery life. And some souls have just 1 bar remaining. Will you allow it to run down completely? Because if this happens, how will you receive calls from Allah? No wonder some people no longer get Allah's messages, including the answers to their prayers, because their batteries have run down and their phones are not functioning. All they have is just carrying dead phones all around. How will you receive messages from Allah? In terms of our spirituality, without the spiritual charging, the heart grows tired, the mind becomes clouded, and the soul feels lost. The believer understands that just as a phone without a charge loses its ability to function, a heart disconnected from its creator loses its ability to truly live. Some people were expecting a very important call in their lives, but their batteries have run down. How would they be called back from being lost? Some people were following the Google map to a destination unknown. Just as they reached the middle of the way, the battery ran down. The Google map connection is cut off. There's nobody around to call for help, and there's no person to speak to give the proper guidance. Has that person not got lost completely? Allah Akbar. Reaching to Almighty Allah is what it is. Turning to Allah is like charging one's spiritual battery, giving the strength needed to survive the challenges of life. Now, let me tell you another thing about Tawbah. It's like the lost person and the guide. A person lost in a dense forest without a map or guide is surrounded by a maze of uncertainty. Every path seems the same. Every rustling in the leaves suggests danger. And every step deepens the sense of confusion. With the forest towering trees and tangled undergrowth, the jungle becomes a tangle where fear and doubt grow as thick as the climbing plants that are under the feet. Without a clear direction in life, the mind is overwhelmed. What am I going to do? The mind is as anxious, turning over every decision. It is wondering if the next choice will lead to safety or deeper into the unknown. Imagine being at a cross path in the jungle. Every turn leads deeper into the unknown. The world has its own complexities. Things are not as simple as we think they are. There are temptations everywhere. Some ethical questions don't come with ready answers. And there are uncertainties everywhere. You can't be too sure of anything, and nothing is predictable. Now imagine this world that is so vast and impenetrable. Choices can overwhelm us. The burden of not knowing the right path can weigh heavily on our hearts. How can we find our ways if we don't turn to Almighty Allah for guidance so that we don't continuously and perpetually become lost? Allah Akbar. The believer or the Tawneeli understands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his infinite wisdom and knowledge, is the perfect guide through the forest of existence. In the same way, we can never be guided until we turn to Almighty Allah. And then the broken object and the craftsman. When something valuable breaks, a cherished piece of jewelry or a family treasure or an expensive flower vase or an important porcelain, we seek out a skilled craftsman or expert who knows how to restore it to its former glory. In the hands of an unskilled craftsman, the damage may worsen. In the hands of the indifferent, the value might be overlooked. But in the hands of the craftsman, with their deep understanding of the material, with the tools and the techniques required, they see not only the damage, but also the potential for renewal. And that is Almighty Allah, the craftsman of our souls. He knows where to apply pressure. He knows where to be gentle. He knows how to mend what is broken so that it becomes whole again. This process is not just a repair. It is a restoration of worth. It's a restoration of beauty and a restoration of purpose. And similarly, when the human heart is broken, whether by loss or by betrayal or by sin or the weight of the world's disappointment, or when a person feels spiritually shattered and disconnected, it's not enough to turn to the transient remedies of this world. Distractions, temporary comforts, and superficial advice may offer momentary relief, but they rarely address the deeper features of what we are going through. It is when we keep our broken life with Almighty Allah, it's when we turn to Almighty Allah, who knows every crack and crevice, every place where pain has settled, and every silent cry for relief. It is when we turn to him to seek the touch of the one who not only mends, but also heals. It's until then that we are properly healed. Many of us go around as broken individuals. People don't even see your crack, but you know very well that your heart is bleeding because you have been broken by life's disappointment. Turning to Allah is going back to the one who manufactured you in the first place, and he knows the right materials to mend your broken heart. This is another way of turning to Almighty Allah. So why should we turn to Allah in repentance, in tawbah? First, the concept of tawbah in Islam requires that we must do certain things. Number one, you have to stop the sin right away. Number two, you have to regret for the past misdeeds you have done. And number three, you have to have a sincere apology to Allah. And number four, you have to have a resolution to avoid the sins in the future. Those are the rudiments of tawbah as far as Islam is concerned. But you cannot do this tawbah unless you remember what you are and remember what you have. We cannot do this except we know who we are. Having a dark side is something that is sometimes not what it seems. It could just mean that a person may have dealt with sad things in life. Deep inside a hidden box of sagas of a troubled life, a life that is held hostage from memories of betrayals and loss. Some of us shut some things within the chest because we have been misunderstood a lot by the people who should know us better. Our hearts have got black because it represents the life we've had to live. The only life we know as ours, dark as black, is our signature color. As a nation, we have been lied to, we have been deceived by politicians over many years. They have taken advantage of our naivety. They have exploited our patience. They kept us occupied with poverty and the primal need for survival. Over many years, we had had to adapt. We had had to adjust, to wait, to understand, to be patient, and to be silent. So we have become dark-minded people, more wicked, more inconsiderate, and more desperate. Sins no longer look bad to us. Darkness has become generational. Maybe as a people, we have been wicked. Maybe we have been cruel and sinful in our own ways. Maybe as a family, husbands have been cheating on their wives and vice versa. We have broken the trust. We have broken the promise. We have broken the vow. Hypocrisy has painted us black, black and broken, with broken homes, with broken children, with broken lives, with broken hearts, with broken future. As we are facing our lives, are we actually, with everything we are going through, as a nation, as a family, or as a society, are we facing the consequences of our own doings? We want to reap what we did not sow. We complain of hunger when we did not plant food. Our minds are conditioned to expect manna wa salwa to drop from the heaven, such that we only open our mouths and food will drop in from the sky. Maybe that is what we were expecting. And maybe that is what we need to turn back to Allah from. We seem to be getting it all wrong. We become scared of our own shadows. We see monsters reflect in every mirror that we look into. We are just like our leaders. Just like our leaders are like us. We are all the same brothers, sisters, cousins, relatives, spouses of each other. Maybe it's just the way we express the life we have been through. It has been a hard life for all of us. Maybe we are mutating into strange creatures, only Allah knows. So we learn to express it in that way, like a ghost that is searching for light. Almost everything is black and dark, just like our faces and our hearts. As individuals, we are all wanderers in the gloom of our private lives. We are all nomads in the darkness of our journeys. We are all monstrous in the secrecy of our bodies. However, that doesn't mean we don't have a heart. We are still kind when we have to. We are still considerate. We are still forgiving when we have to. But we can also be funny. We can entertain ourselves with the social media. Yet this, our dark side, continues to haunt us. We pretend to be happy. Just get data and be watching skits of comedies, of things that are funny, organizing comedy shows, and creating things to make us laugh. Whereas this dark side of ours is still haunting us, because our so-called happiness and laughter are not real. We are just making it. We are just faking it. We have done so many horrible things in the dark, all of us. We have hidden in the dark to eat forbidden fruits, but deny it in the morning. We still do the things that cause us fright in the shadows of the night. We still do things that the devil will see and run from us and say, "Awuzubillah." There are certain things that even Shaitan will see us do, and we say, "Awuzubillah, I mean a Shaitan rajim," because Shaitan knows that even he cannot do better than that. People have cut off each other's head for money rituals. Children have killed their parents because of dunya. Many people have robbed people. Many have killed people. Many have kidnapped people. Many have maimed people. And all of these things amongst us, and Shaitan will be wondering,
These guys are superior. And what may pinch a thorn the most is that the same us that do all of these things will see criticize other people and will see think it is some other people that are bad, not us. And even when we're entrusted with resources to carry out act of worship, to go for Hajj, we still spend the money without any fear of reproach of Almighty Allah. Now you see, Shaitan will see us and say, "Awuzu billah," because of what we do. We still hide away from prying eyes and indulge in our secret lives. We think we are safe when nobody can see us. But do we truly think we are free from the blame of our iniquities and the bane of our atrocities? Do we fear the judgment of the light such that we feel safe in our darkness? Don't we realize that the actions that we take in darkness can leave our souls forever heartless? Don't we recognize that the horrible things we do in the dark can leave a permanent and damning mark on our hearts and push away the blessings of Almighty Allah? So we cling to the darkness and we find solace in the shadows as a place where we can hide and shield ourselves from judgment that the light may bring inside. What drives us to commit these deeds? Is it our wants of the primal needs of life? Or we can't find enough excess to feed our greed? Could it be because we're a mixture of a lot of things? We're a fusion of a lot of things? We're a synthesis of a lot of things? Aren't we a blend of combined concoction of poison and serum at the same time? فَالْهَمَهَا فُجُورُهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Has Allah not put the two inside us for a purpose? Some parts of our hearts are dark with these black spots of iniquities, while some other parts reflect the bright spark of the little righteousness that we have left in us. We are all sinners and righteous ones at the same time. Maybe as a people, we are a mix of the good, the not so good, and the not so good looking. Maybe as individuals, we are all as good as we are bad, and we are all as bad as we are good. We are all dark as light, and we are all light as dark. We are organisms mixed in contrast. We are complex beings with deep layers and thick coatings, with our contradictions within and the conflicting influences of our certain things. We often struggle to even understand ourselves. And that is why you will often think you are a nice person. Eh? You will think you are a nice person until you get rich. Then you see that you are not that nice. Or that you think you are a just person until you become an authority. Then you see that you are not that just. You will think you know how to sort things out until you become a president. Then you'll be shocked that your own people are the ones that work against you. Or you think that you know your people well until they divert the palliatives to their own personal pockets. Or you think that you are not oppressive until you become powerful. Or that maybe you think you are not corrupt until you are in government. When others steal money, you call it corruption. But when it's your turn, you call it connection. They say, "How did you manage to make this money?" You say, "I have some connections in the high place." He will not call it corruption again. Our personalities are a blend of disparities, a tangle of light and shadow, a twist of coils, the good and the bad, the happy and the sad, the pleasure and pain, the sane and the mad, the love and the hate, the brave and the scared, the wise and the foolish, the improvised and the real. We try to keep a myriad of emotions, the sweet and the sour, the calm and the chaos, the sun and the shower. We mix everything together, but it is in this dichotomy, this duality, that we find the essence of our reality. It's a struggle between darkness and light. A human will always have to struggle with the dark side of their lives. So let us embrace our contrasting sides, our flaws and our strengths, our faults and our strides, because it is in this acceptance, this embrace, that we can truly find our place. Then we can make effort to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because only when we acknowledge the dangers of our sinful ways and the serious consequences that we can hope to overcome the afflictions of what we have wrought upon ourselves. We must all do the tawbah and return to Almighty Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّوَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Quran chapter 24 verse 31, Surah An-Nur. And turn to Allah in repentance. Very significantly, is the chapter of light that Allah is calling us to turn to Allah jami'an. Do tawbah to Allah so that you can come back to the light. Ayyuhal mu'minun, all of you that truly believe in Allah, all of you that are truly turnees to Allah, la'allakum tuflihun, so that you can become successful. The Quran frequently mentions attributes of Allah, al-Ghafur, the most forgiving, and at-Tawwab, the one that accepts repentance. He is al-Ghaffar because we constantly offend him, and so he constantly forgives us. Repentance is when we step into the light in purifying our souls. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you believe, tubu ila Allah, tawbatan nasuha, O you believe, repent and return to Allah in the best of all repentance and the best of all returning. Asa rabbukum an yukaffira ankum sayyi'atikum. Maybe if you do this, maybe your Lord is going to remove from you, is going to erase from you all of your sins. When you khilakum jannatin tajri, and he will make you to enter into paradise, under which tajri min tahti al-anhar, under which rivers flow. Yawma la yukhzilla an-nabiyya. That day is coming when Allah would not disappoint the messenger, the prophets of Allah, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَ and all of those who believe with him. What will Allah do to them? نُورُهُمْ يَسَعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ Their light will be shining brightly in their left and their right. يَقُولُنَا رَبَّنَا And our prayers then will be, Oh our Lord, أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا Complete our light for us. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا and forgive our sins. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ Because you have power over all things. Did you now see the connection between the light and the tawbah? Between the light and forgiveness? Because Allah knows that our sins are born out of the dark sides of our lives. And we need the light of Allah's forgiveness when we turn to Him to remove us from that darkness. But turning to Allah and seeking the light is not a one-off thing. It's not just something you just do and you say you are done with it. You have to keep groping. Our task to keep groping towards the light of knowledge, the light of kindness, and the light of love, the light of mercy, the light of the Quran and Sunnah. It's a symbol of all that is good. It's a ray of hope in a world that could be dark and dreary, that could be bleak and cold. But with the light of knowledge, we are never alone. Allah will say to us, I've got your back. I'm there with you. So we bask in the radiance of Tawbah. We feel the grace of Almighty Allah. And we find our place in the embrace of the light of Allah. The light is more than just a glow. It's a symbol of the things we know are true and good and right and just. And we learn to trust Allah and stay in the presence of Almighty Allah with minimal distraction. And we have to keep performing good deeds. The Quran says, Alam ya'lamu anna Allahu wa yaqbalu tawbata an ibadi wa ya'khudhu sadaqat wa anna Allahu wa tawwabur rahim. Don't you know that Allah accepts repentance from his servants and he accepts the sadaqah, the good deed that you do. And that Allah alone is the one who forgives and accepts repentance, most merciful. Good deeds destroy sins just like fire destroys dried firewood. And we must do a lot of good deeds for our repentance to be taken seriously. We should also keep reflecting on Allah's names and attributes because Allah is Al-Ghafurul Wadud, Allahu Akbar. And Allah says, Inna Rabbaka Wasi'ul Maghfira. Indeed, your Lord is wide in forgiveness. And Allah says, Kul ya ibadiya alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. O you, my servants that have wronged their souls, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'an. Allah forgive all sins. Innahu wal ghafur rahim. Because all forgiving and most merciful. Wa anibu ila rabbikum. And turn to your Lord. Allah didn't say and turn to Allah. Allah says turn to your Lord. I am your Lord. I am your nourisher. I'm your cherisher. Wa aslimu lahu. And surrender to him. Surrender the fact that you have your dark sides that are pulling you away from the light. Surrender to him just like the flower surrender to the sunlight. A source of nourishment and life. Min qabli an ya'tiyakum al'adhabu thumma la tunsurun. All before the punishment of Allah comes to meet you. And then you will not be helped by anyone. Hunger in the land. Kidnapping. Killings. Corruption. All of these things, the simple solution will have been for us to return back to Allah and surrender to him. If we don't do that, we ain't going nowhere. And Allah says, "Wattabi'u ahsana ma unzila ilaykum," and follow and obey the best of the things we have revealed to you in the Quran. Min rabbikum, they all came from your Lord. Min qabla an yatiyakum al'adhabu baktatan, before a sudden punishment afflicts you. Wa antum la tashurun, and it will catch you by surprise. You will not know. You will not see it coming. Antakula nafsu ya hasrat ala ma farratu fi jambillah. So that none of you will not come and start crying foul. I say, oh Allah, why did I move away from the side of Allah? Wa in kuntu la minas sakhirin. And we'll be like, it's as if somebody casted a spell on me. Before that happens, ensure that you do what is good and you return to Almighty Allah. According to Imam Ahmad, who recorded Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, said that the Messenger of Allah said, "Inna Allah yaqul," Allah says in one hadith Qudsi, "Ya ibadi, O you my servant. Ya ibadi, O you my servant. Ma abattani wa rajautani. As long as you are worshipping me and you are begging me and you are praying to me, fa inni ghafirun lak, I'm going to forgive your sins, ala ma kana fik, on whatever thing you must have done wrong. Ya ibadi, ya abdi, oh you my servant, innaka in laqitani bi kurabil ard, even if you come to me, Allahu akbar, bi kurabil ard khati'atan, even if you come to me with sins that are as big as this earth, man lam tushrik bi, so long as you don't associate partner with me, laqituka bi kurabiha maghfira, I'm going to come to you with forgiveness that is as big as this earth itself. Allahu akbar kabira. So it is time. It is time for astaghfirullah. It is time to seek forgiveness from Almighty Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask Allah's forgiveness 70 times every day. But the Quran asks us, is it not time? Alam ya'ni
lilladhina amanu an takhsha'a qulubuhum li dhikrillahi wa ma nazala minal haqq. وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ.
Is it not time for those who believe that their hearts should melt for Allah in the remembrance of Almighty Allah and what we have revealed of the truth of the Quran, and they should not be like those that were given the book before them, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ, and the consequences of their deeds caught up with them, فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, and their heart became harder. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ, and many of them became fasik. They became ardent sinners. Is it not time? أَلَمْ يَعْنِ? Is it not time? As the clock of life ticks away, each moment a silent witness to the passage of days and years. Is it not time? There comes a moment when the soul must confront a question that transcends the mundane concerns of daily life. Is it not time? The question echoes not only through the corridors of time, but through the very heart of our existence. Is it not time to turn to Allah in repentance? Time is relentless and unyielding. You cannot press pause on time. It marches forward, bringing with it the inevitable ebb and flow of experiences, moments of joy, moments of sorrow, moments of success and failure. Each tick of the clock is both a reminder of the present and a testament to the past. Today is yesterday's tomorrow.
And as we traverse through this uncharted journey of time, there comes a time when we must face the truth of our own spiritual state. Is it not time to pause and reflect on the path we have taken? Is it not time to acknowledge the weight of our mistakes, the depth of our shortcomings, and the distance we may have created between ourselves and Allah? Just as the season change and the natural world undergoes cycles of renewal, so too does the soul require moments of reckoning and renewal. Repentance is not merely a reaction to guilt or regret. It's a profound reflective act of returning to the essence of our being. It is the recognition that within the core of our beings, there are layers of imperfection, and within the hearts, there are spaces yearning for healing. It's an invitation to reconnect with Allah, to realign ourselves with the eternal truth and the guides that sustain us. And in turning to Allah in repentance, in doing tawbah to Allah, we acknowledge that time is not just a linear progression, but a sacred opportunity for spiritual growth and progress. The moment of repentance is a bridge between the past and the future. It's a chance to mend what was broken, to forge a new path forward. It's an affirmation that despite the missteps and detours, there is always a chance to return to Allah, to begin anew, and to seek the grace that is ever present and the forgiveness that is present continuous. Each moment of repentance is a connection of the past with the present, the finite with the infinite, the sinner with the forgiver. It's an acknowledgement that regardless of the passage of time, there's always a divine embrace waiting to receive us, to heal us, to guide us towards a path of renewal and grace. And just as the night eventually yields to the dawn, so too does the act of repentance herald a new beginning for all of us. It's a chance to emerge from the shadows of past mistakes into the light of Allah's guidance and compassion. Allah waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the protecting friend of those who are turnees. He brings them from darkness and puts them into the light. So is it not time to turn towards Allah with sincerity and humility? Is it not time to lay down the burdens of guilt and remorse and to embrace the promise of mercy and forgiveness? So turning to Allah is a comprehensive process, and it involves the heart, the mind, and the actions. It's not a one-time thing. It's something that we keep doing over and over. So as we consider the relentless march of time, let us ask ourselves, is it not time we turn to Allah before we return to Him? May Allah grant us all the ability to turn to Him sincerely and live our lives in His pleasure. Oh Allah, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, in the quiet of this moment, we come before You, Ya Allah, with your heart that is heavy and humble. Our souls were once radiant, but we have wandered through shadows and tunnels. We have turned away from your guiding light. We stand before you, Ya Allah, acknowledging the weight of our transgressions and the distance we have placed between ourselves and your rahmah. O Allah, you are the forgiver of sins and the healer of hearts. We lay bare our regrets and seek refuge in your boundless mercy. Each misstep, each moment of heedlessness has etched itself upon our spirits, leaving us yearning for the solace that only your forgiveness can bring. We are travelers in need of your guidance. We are lost in the confusion of our own making. We are longing to return to the path that leads to your divine presence. We beseech you, Ya Allah, to cleanse our hearts from the stains of our past mistakes. Wash away the shadows that have clouded our judgments and renew within us a spirit of sincerity and of purpose. Let your light penetrate the depths of our beings, illuminating the path forward and dispelling the darkness that has veiled our understanding. O Allah, please grant us the strength to turn away from what leads us astray and give us the wisdom to embrace what draws us closer to you. O Allah, instill in us a resolve that is steadfast and true, a commitment to walk in the light of your guidance and humility and determination.
Oh Allah, help us to turn over a new leaf as a nation, as individuals, as families, as a society, as an ummah. Help us to turn over a new leaf, to start afresh with a heart that beats in rhythm with your will and a soul that finds peace in your presence. Oh Allah, you are the guardian of the lost and you are the restorer of the broken. We seek your assistance in this journey of renewal. Surround us with your protection. Shield us from the temptations that seek to divert us from your path. Oh Allah, endure us with the patience to persevere in our quest for righteousness. Let our actions reflect your teachings and let our hearts remain ever faithful to your divine love. You are Al-Wadud, you are Al-Ghafur. In this moment of repentance, oh Allah, we place our trust in your promises and we surrender our wills to your divine decree. Oh Allah, accept our plea. Oh Allah, as a token of our sincere return to you, we are returnees and we are turnees to you, seeking your face and your grace. May your grace envelop us. May your guidance direct us. May your mercy embrace us as we embark upon this new chapter in our lives. Forgive us, Ya Allah, and lead us to a future where our steps are aligned with your will and our hearts are serene in your remembrance and our souls find their ultimate fulfillment in your presence. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرَ كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ آمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
In a world filled with chaos and uncertainty, find peace, guidance, inspiration, and wisdom with Abdel Fattah Adeyemi's official app. Download the Abdel Fattah Adeyemi app now and start your journey to a more meaningful, purpose-driven life. Available for free on the App Store and Google Play. Join the community. Transform your life. Edit your universe.